kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm not dead.
That's although good.
Although, it got a little shady today, but I am not dead.
Got a little shady.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned for like an hour. I was like, do I need to go like do a drive-through test or some shit? Because I might die. I was just puking, but the puking was like making me feel cold, and so I wasn't sure if I had fever, if I had chills. I was like, I don't know what to do, and then I slept it off. Yeah, and then I slept it off. But the doctor changed my medicine, and I forgot that today was the first day of the new med.
DDA, maybe you're pregnant.
Maybe that would be an act of a god I don't believe in.
By the way, Chris Huber's here. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm currently under my desk wiring cables to an Xbox that I don't even know if it's going to work. So if you hear some like things of like the headset banging up against a desk, that's what that sound is.
And I'm just hoping you crack your head off your desk now.
I mean, it's very possible. I hope I don't.
I'm just going.
I think I've got to have a power cable. Dude, I have so many fucking wires down here. Like, holy shit. So much stuff. So I renewed my Game Pass. There's a little bit of news for you.
Yay!
Yay, Game Pass. We made it.
Get that out of the way.
1 minute into the show without mentioning Game Pass.
Uh-huh. We all very much love Game Pass.
Dude, close like to 2 minutes. Just about two minutes.
Like, let's be real here, right? Like, can you even say anything bad about Game Pass?
Like, no. Like, games leave? That's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, but then they just put other shit in there. Like, it's like, I don't know. This is the type of thing that that like younger me going to Blockbuster and renting games would have like drooled over.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely fucking drooled over. Like, mm-hmm. So, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, if we're talking Game Pass, we could talk about what's coming to Game Pass.
I would love to know that, Joe. Why don't you tell me?
Just this week, May 7th, we got DayZ and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Holy shit. Okay. Well, I guess that's how I'm going to play Red Dead if I'm ever going to give it a shot.
Yeah, you're going to have to get your Xbox working, though.
Well, yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah. And then May 14th, we're getting Final Fantasy IX. Okay. That's cool for the retro RPG fans. And then May 19th, Fractured Minds. Cole, have you played that one?
I was surprised that it's coming to Game Pass, but I do hope more people check it out, and I hope that it helps with the developer. I know it was developed by a teenage girl, and that the game only cost $2 in the first place, but the profits were being donated to mental health agencies to help. And so I hope that it gets it out there into more people's hands. It's an easy 1K. It's actually a really solid little game. That helps. It always helps to say it's an easy 1K.
You gotta mention the achievements.
But I mean, it gets it in more people's hands. Sometimes it works. It's important to be like, yeah.
And then on the PC side, they're getting Halo 2 Anniversary as part of the Master Chief Collection on the 12th. And then they are also getting Final Fantasy IX and Endless Legend, although there are a couple of games leaving Game Pass on the PC on the 15th. I know we covered the Xbox departures last week on the show. The PC departures are Imperator Rome, Rise of the Tomb Raider, The Banner Saga, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, and this one's a bummer for me, West of Loathing. I love West of Loathing.
Ah, I don't think I've ever played it.
Oh, you but should at least- before it's gone.
Yeah.
At least the PC stuff, that was the primary reason as to why I wanted to renew it is because I want to play the new Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
So
which we did earlier. What did you think of it? We reviewed it last episode. Tim really enjoyed it.
I mean, we only played for what? Like 20 minutes?
That was longer than that. It was
maybe
a little, at least
maybe
an
half
hour.
An hour-ish. No. Did we play that long?
Yeah.
It did, or well, it didn't feel like that long.
No, it didn't.
Like, I'm partial to a lot of beat 'em ups. Those were like the first types of games that I ever really like got into and that I like played with my brother. So I love co-op beat 'em ups. It's like one of my favorite genres ever. And Streets of Rage was like one of my favorite ones because I was very much like a Genesis kid. At least like the Genesis was the first like system that I like fell in love with. Like we had a Nintendo and we played stuff on it, but like everything that came out on Genesis, like I fanboyed over, like that system could do no wrong in my eyes. So like Streets of Rage was like my jam. I loved it. So to see them like do a newer game in the series, like I figured that series was just dead. I'd never see it ever again.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I think I really enjoy the art style. I think it's like, it's clean and new enough to make things interesting, but to still keep the character of like the design of like some of the levels and stuff like that. They kept like a lot of the older characters, which I love. I don't feel like we went through enough of it for me to really know how much I like the whole thing overall, but even some of the mechanics that they changed, like using your super and then like being able to combo to regain some of that health back is pretty neat, you know?
What are your thoughts on the soundtrack? Because that's been a hot issue. Some people absolutely love it. Tim Ekibis, he said some of it is really good. Some of the stuff is just not good at all. And he's really mixed on the soundtrack.
From what I was able to hear so far, I could totally understand that. I think like there was a few of them that I could really like get behind and I was like, oh, this makes sense. Like this is appropriate for like the game. It would like it seems like it would like it lends itself to the type of game that it is. Right. Like even when we were playing, there was one of them that like reminded me of Shantae. Yeah. So I was like, but Shantae. in the same regard, I think the soundtrack on the original ones were just like, they were the shit. They were so good. And
yeah,
if
you can't fuck with those original soundtracks.
Right. So like, if they're not going to do essentially like a reimagining of original songs and they're just going to try and like add their own kind of spin to stuff and just incorporate it into something that they think that makes sense for now, I can understand the creative, mindset of wanting to do that, but it pales in comparison to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I mean, again, maybe some of the tracks as I get like deeper into the game are going to be like really bangers. Like you can't have a full soundtrack that's as good as like those older games. You just don't see that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe if you get like,
I don't know, Shovel Knight.
I really like The Messenger too. Soundtrack to that was pretty good.
River City Girls was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
There's still some good soundtracks out there, mostly indies though.
Right. That's what it's always kind of like come down to. But I mean, this was essentially an indie project, no? Because Sega wasn't involved.
Yeah, this was for the most part an indie developed project. It's really interesting to see what Sega has been doing in terms of their properties between this with Dotemu getting Streets of Rage to pretty much have free reign over, and then you have Forever Entertainment just released Panzer Dragoon Remake. I wonder what else Sega is going to be giving up to other companies to just remake or re-release or reimagine.
Do whatever the hell they want to. Like,
at least someone's doing something with those IP.
Right. Dude, like I said, I never would have imagined to see another Streets of Rage game in my entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think it was going to happen. So it's a pleasant surprise. A very pleasant surprise, and I'm glad it's in Game Pass.
Gotta love Game Pass.
I fucking love it, man.
Gotta love Game Pass.
Okay, so I am attempting to launch my Xbox right now. We're gonna see what happens.
And you just disconnect from the call.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. I'm totally waiting for it.
Just the power shuts down in Northeast Pennsylvania.
I don't believe I am actually getting video from it.
Yeah, your system might be kaput.
Yeah, it might be.
I just heard that. Did it?
Yeah.
I had to turn the chime off on my Xbox because my dogs bark at it.
Do they?
Yeah, they drive me nuts. I'm like, nah, just fuck it. I'll mute this chime. I miss hearing it, though.
Oh, we have a picture on the screen.
Ooh, we're getting somewhere.
We have a green screen. This is live tech support with the SML podcast.
It is. This is fantastic. Dark Meek asking, how do you turn off the chime or cat chime?
There's a settings under startup that you can go into and turn it off. I'd have to go through like all of it specifically, but it is under setup.
Well, if I can get mine to go into the main menu and I can get to the settings, I'll let you know what it is.
It's going to be a new segment on SML. It's like, how do you do shit on your Xbox? How do you turn off the narrator?
Oh, great. A 3.8 gigabyte update. Start update. I think this is what ends up happening. Like, it tries to do the update. It'll hit some part of it trying to do it, and then it just, like, freezes and just doesn't complete.
Dark Meeko, wait, there's a narrator? Yes. Hold the Xbox button, and then, what is it? The menu button turns on the narrator, and it narrates all the menu options that you highlight and shit like that.
So if you go to the settings and then general, and then power mode and startup, if you scroll down to the third one, it's startup chime, and you have the option to turn it on or only with the power button or voice or off.
Options are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a terrible episode.
It's fine. You're doing great.
I had to switch USB cables, because the one that I was using, the only one that works in the controller that I have for my Xbox is the one that I was using for my headset because it's longer. So now I'm like leaning over, trying to be closer to the computer.
Oh, man.
Trying to get comfortable. There we go.
Well, we could talk a little bit of news. I know, Chris, before we started recording, you watched the latest episode of Inside Xbox, which was a big spectacular on Series X gameplay and in-engine footage, quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote.
There were a lot of new games shown off. I got to admit, some of them looked good. Some of them looked kind of eh. Nothing really got my blood pumping.
I was going to say there really wasn't anything in there that I was like, oh, this is going to sell systems.
I mean, there were a lot of games where I was like, damn, that looks good.
Damn, that looks good. But I've
heard the this isn't going to sell systems arguments twice today. And I want to point out, these aren't all third-party games.
Yeah, these aren't meant to sell systems.
Okay, so, but then, like, what was the purpose of today? Just to show, like, new
shit? This was to show how third-party is developing for the Series X.
Okay, so, like, some of it looked really, really good. Like, I think graphically, it's no question that obviously next gen graphically is supposed to look significantly better than the current gen that you're on, right? So they obviously succeeded with making things look good. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit what things look like. I don't. I really don't. And I could say that with the utmost honesty. I think if you could show me a gaming experience that is compelling in a short amount of time, which, like, not even arguing, like, how popular a game really is. Like, I just reinstalled Sea of Thieves, and I remember when they showed Sea of Thieves for the first time, and they were just showing, like, what you can do and what the game entailed and how it was different than a lot of other things going on. That made me go, oh, wow, this is interesting. I can't wait to try this, right? And I think everything that was shown today, there was, like, it was purely eye candy. Which, granted, like, again, I guess that's what they were going for, but, like,
I mean, yeah, it's a new console, it's a new generation. They want to show off how pretty shit can look, and I think they succeeded big time with that.
Now, even saying with that, there was a couple parts where, like, I pointed out to you before we started recording, Joe, where it was, like, they worded it kind of funky to say that it was, like, projected, like, yeah.
anticipated in-game
right,
engine.
That was the verbiage, right.
Something like that.
Like, I've why do you even put it in? Why can't you dumb it, like, quote-unquote, dumb it down and still make it look good? Because ultimately, like, everything that they were showing, they're saying, like, okay, you could buy it on the Xbox One, and then you'll just get it with the newer system and be able to play it on the newer system if you get the newer system. There's probably going to be a good amount of people that have no intentions of buying the newer system. So if you're showing these games and being like, hey, you should really check these out on your Xbox One, which we know you have, why couldn't they also show, like, comparisons of, like, how significant of a change is it going to be? Most of the time systems have done jumps, they're always really quick to go, like, hey, this is what it used to look like, and this is what it looks like now. Like, none of that happened throughout that
entire
30
minutes. Because it might discourage people from buying the game at all. Be like, oh, well, if it looks this shitty on the Xbox One, why should I even bother with it?
Because they're getting it free when they get the new hardware. That's why, like, I feel like that would almost compel people more. No?
But why would they do that with third-party games? Because third-party games are going to hit parity issues with other consoles anyway.
Yeah.
Like, how many of them aren't being, what were they calling it? Like, between the two systems? Like, what's their catchphrasey thing? Split share or share something? What was it?
Smart. What the fuck?
Smart.
Is it?
Was it smart something?
Smart delivery.
Smart delivery. That's
smart
it.
Delivery. Like, can't they just, like, even that, like, that's.
But I mean, this was multi-plat stuff that's going to be on PlayStation and stuff too. So, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for them to show off the differences between the X and the Series X for this, because this is just, hey, this is what these people are working on for the next generation. And
yeah, they weren't trying to show off what you could get on the Xbox One. They were trying to focus on, this is what you're getting on the Series X.
I get it. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, ways that they could potentially, like, make it more exciting. I don't know. There wasn't too many moments throughout the whole thing that, like, really grabbed me.
No.
You know?
Well, let's go through it. They started off with a game called Bright Memory Infinite. Anyone have any thoughts on this one?
This game is done by one person single-handedly.
Yes.
And
that's done by one guy?
Yeah.
One guy. Single-handedly.
Right, that's fucking
the
intense.
The entire game.
Like, that. That's, I mean, it was very, like, crisis-y, like, Titanfall-ish.
I wanted to know if his name was Gilson B. Pontus.
Why don't you ask them?
Oh, Gilson. What are we going to do with you?
It does look incredible, though. The game does. And
It looked nice.
I was very impressed by it.
I don't know how much of that is real actual gameplay footage. I'm pretty sure that was just in engine. Like, that
I think
was
in engine, motion blurred the fuck. Like, oh my god, was that distracting? Like,
one guy.
Yeah, but one guy. So you got to take that into consideration.
SpongeBob says, why did they switch from Crisis and Titanfall to Medieval all of a sudden? That was weird near the end where they just busted out swords.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you got to have some sort of melee thing, and they're not going to do an energy sword. So
there were giblets.
Why not,
that was
why
fun
not
though.
Have a regular sword?
After that was Dirt 5. I thought that looked fantastic. I love the dirt games. I love my racing games. I'm excited for this one.
I never played any of the dirt games.
Number one really enjoys dirt, so she's looking forward to Dirt 5. She said Dirt 3 was great, Dirt 4 maybe not so much, but Dirt 5, she's got high hopes for it.
I'm very content with my Horizons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like my go-to racing game. I'm fine with that.
Well, I don't think we're going to have a new Forza Horizon for the Series X launch, so I think Dirt 5 is as good as we're going to get.
Well, I would hope that they would churn out some additional content for Horizon.
It'd be nice. I would love to see Horizon get Series X optimized. I think that would be amazing.
It's such a good game. It really is. It's so good.
It is.
It'd have more frames than you could shake a stick at.
Give me all the frames. I have that running at like like 100 frames on my computer, and I'm just like, give me more. just give me more. I have 144 hertz monitor.
Need?
I want all 144.
I ran a test on my computer the other day, and some games were hitting 500 frames a second.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, okay, that's cool. I don't think I can even see that, but that's cool.
Do you, like, what refresh rate is your monitor?
I don't know. I don't remember. David bought me this. I didn't get to pick out anything about the monitor. But it's a Samsung 27-inch.
If it's, like, a higher refresh rate, like, it was night and day for me going from, like I was gaming on 60 hertz, like, pretty much all my life. Mm-hmm. And then once I turned it up to 144, I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah. Like it's, man, it's something else. It's...
I'm curious. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I can't even watch YouTube videos at 1080 on my computer without stuttering, so fuck both of you.
Well, it's rendering stuff. Like, it's the amount of frames that your TV is capable of.
Yeah, 144.
Rendering. Yeah, it's so smooth. Like, yeah. Ugh, I love it.
I mean, I mostly play Pirate Outlaws in The Sims, so.
I mean, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was playing Pirate Outlaws the other day, and I was using 0.3% of my CPU.
Jesus.
I was playing Plague Tale on ultra settings and using 0.9%.
You can go to hell.
Yeah. My PC's so good.
OBS alone is taking up like 11% of my CPU.
I'm building a computer for my brother actually to finally get out of the Stone Age.
Yeah, Chris, I might need your building assistant soon.
Dude, I'm down. Like literally this system that I put together we're waiting on the motherboard. Motherboard's supposed to come tomorrow, I think actually. Tomorrow or the next day. I mean it's a decent rig with room for upgrades, like incremental upgrades, like down the road.
Yeah.
I think we put it together for about like 700, roughly, something like that. Yeah. And, cool. And even something like that would be like a significant upgrade from like what you're working with.
Oh, now. I know. Anything would be any kind of upgrade from what I'm working with now.
Yeah.
So,
we got to get you on that.
Yeah. Next up in the showcase, they showed off a game called Scorn. Cole, I would imagine you were getting pretty excited at this one.
Yeah, that one looks badass.
It looked dope, yeah.
First-person horror adventure. The thing I noticed with this one, coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, I won't play it, but I could appreciate the artwork. Like, I thought I was, like, in a Meshuggah album.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass. I'm curious to see more about that one. Nothing else from anyone else. Okay.
No. I thought you were going to go on a little longer and then you didn't. And then I was like, well, yeah. Shit. Now it's awkward.
With a lot of these things, like, that's kind of like how I felt while I was watching it. I was like, okay, yeah, here's look the cool. thing.
All right, move on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep.
I just kept like pointing out all the penis-y parts. I was like, that looked like an
animal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of dick-like stuff that in that trailer.
Definitely a boob. And also some more penis.
I think that thing peed.
Yeah.
Blood. Oh, okay. You should get that checked.
Oh, Lord. After that, they showed off a game called Chorus from Deep Silver and Fish Labs. This one is supposed to be hitting Xbox One and Series X with smart delivery for all players. Hooray. Like most of the games on the list. This one looks interesting.
Was that the one that looked like it was kind of like a Smash TV Diablo-ish kind of thing?
Kind of. It was interesting. I don't remember much about it.
I have a bit of an aversion to like these sci-fi kind of games. So I'm a little mixed on how I'm going to feel about Chorus. Like it looks incredible. But I don't know if it's necessarily the kind of story or gameplay that I get into.
No.
I can be very hit or miss when sci-fi is involved.
Same. No, I can absolutely agree with you there. I'm normally not a sci-fi guy.
No. The worst part about these showcases is because we're unfamiliar with all the games. If you don't remember a trailer right off the bat, you're like, what the hell is this game? I don't remember this right. game. Mm-hmm. Like now that you're talking about
the first experience, you know, seeing it as well, it's like, it doesn't really, I think sometimes it just takes a little more for it to resonate than just, oh, here's a trailer. If it's not something like Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty that you're already super familiar with and like you see it and you know what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have that brand recognition for Chorus yet.
Yeah, not yet. But it spells Chorus with a V.
Yeah.
So they're going unique very, there.
It's very cult of them.
Cult of them. After that, Patrick Mahomes talked about the Madden series and announced Madden 21, shockingly, is going to be coming to the Series X. They showed the briefest of snippets of in-engine footage. It looks okay.
Looks like Madden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, you know, what was the point of this? A game we know is coming.
How much more realistic is football going to be, you know? No. Like, there's only so much there in the first place. It's not like you're changing these big dramatic destinations or anything. It's just like, here's a football field and some football players.
Yeah. They're hitting each other.
Yeah.
I'll chug a football.
No. It's kind of like a NASCAR game. They're making another left turn and there's not a lot more you can do after that.
Hey, I know there's people excited about NASCAR Heat 5 coming out this year.
There are. There's a reason there's 5 of them, but, you know, left turn.
5 fans? Yeah, that's probably as many.
There's too many rednecks to only have 5 fans.
Hey, I like the NASCAR Heat games. They're fun.
I bet you do.
Hush your face.
Okay.
After that, they showed off a list of publishers and developers working on the Series X. A lot of people working on the Series X. Not a shock at all. It was cool to see Spike Chunsoft on there. I hope that means we're going to get some more of their visual novels or RPGs on Series X, but I kind of doubt it.
I'm not familiar with them.
Mm.
Weeb stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
There you go. After that, they showed off Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. I'm super excited about this one.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to check that out.
I love the trailer. It gave me very Wee Happy Few vibes. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I was like, if it weren't for the fact that I know that this isn't a first party show, I would have thought we were getting some shit for Wee Happy Few because that was very compulsion looking.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm down. I'm intrigued. I give it my time.
I've never like actually checked out the first one, but I'm familiar with like the series from the tabletop perspective.
Yeah.
So
that is a. I played the visual novel from that series. Am I not mistaken?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, the Cotteries of New York.
Yeah.
Was the visual novel one. So yeah, I've got my foot in the door with the the series. So I recognized it.
Well, it's going to have smart delivery, so it doesn't matter if you get a Series X or not. You'll be able to play the game whenever it comes out.
Play it on my fatty Xbox.
As opposed to dumb delivery.
Yes.
Which is buy that shit twice.
Yeah. Hey, I will not complain about getting a bunch of games that I already own, next gen versions for free, just right? Because I already bought the game. I won't complain. Think of how many games we have to double dip on nowadays with HD remasters and remasters and shit like that.
I'm in. The system is booted up.
Ooh.
But I'm not connected to the internet, even though it was connected to the internet to do the update. Okay, wait, hold on. Oh, I'm not signed in.
Oh, well, yeah, that'll do it.
Signing me in.
This is exciting. Live, happening on the show.
Yours is still on my system.
It's going to be exciting if it explodes.
It just
live may. On the show.
It just might.
What's going to explode first, Chris's Xbox or my computer?
Oh God! Let's see if I remember my password.
Might as well continue on with the show. They showed off Call of the Sea. I thought that one looked pretty nice. A gorgeous looking game.
That did look awesome, and that is coming to Game Pass.
Yes, yes, it is.
Not mad about that.
Yeah, I am down for that one for sure. After that was a game called The Ascent. I think this is the Smash TV-ish one that you were thinking of. It looks kind of like a tower defense twin stick shooter.
Yeah, I might check that out. That looks neat.
Yeah, that one looks pretty badass. Coming from Curve Digital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I'm in. I just don't, I don't recognize any of the home screen.
Yeah, they've changed it around a bit.
What the fuck? This is horrible.
Oh, no.
I actually think it's one of their better dashboards they've had.
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Yeah,
and it's one of their quicker ones, too.
I did load pretty decently, because it was chugging before.
See, there you go. Now you could download Red Dead 2.
Wait, is it? I don't think it's recognizing my drive. Where's my USB drive?
Try unplugging it and plugging it back in.
Well, I'm going to have to take my headset off because I have the short cable right now, so you'll have to excuse me for a second.
Just wait on that then.
But I need to know.
Okay, well then Cole can talk about this next one because they showed off the Medium from Bloober Team. Cole.
I love Bloober Team. They can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm so excited for this. There was a nice little interview tacked on to the end with somebody from Bloober, and they were talking about the actual narrative for the game, and I'm so psyched for it. I know me and Aki are gonna come to blows over this, but
I believe this one will come down to who owns a Series X, because to my knowledge, this one is not on Xbox One.
Right. So it's a. I will have to murder Aki.
Yeah, this is a true Series X exclusive, and from what I hear, it's an Xbox console exclusive as well.
Yeah.
That is what I am hearing.
I am fully expecting Microsoft to snap up Bloober Team. Well,
this cable's so freaking short.
Like, it definitely seems to be, like, cruising in that direction.
I think it would be a good pickup. Bloober Team puts out some seriously solid games. I think it would be a smart pickup.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of good different companies that have their hands in a lot of different kinds of genres, but they don't have one good horror company. And Bloober would like fill that little hole just right.
Yeah.
So I think seeing that Microsoft published Blair Witch, and now the Medium is going to be
Did Microsoft Series publish X. Blair Witch? I thought that was just
they did
published Games, by Xbox Bloober
Game Studios published it. Yeah, that's why it was a Game Pass Day One thing, was because it's a Microsoft property. So yeah, I think they're itching toward picking up Bloober for the long term.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
Chris, any update?
I am going into my settings. Let's see here.
Godspeed.
Okay. It's got it. It recognizes it. Almost both drives are full.
Welcome to my life, Chris. My Xbox life.
Yeah, but like,
life.
I don't even have that much shit. Or do I? Do I have that much shit?
You might. Don't get Modern Warfare on Xbox if you're worried about space. Isn't that like 185 gig now?
I think it's still...
You can install which section you want of it. So, like, you have a 75 base area. Like, 75 base game. And then, like, you install the campaign and the multiplayer and the Spec Ops all separately.
Mm.
So, it depends on whether or not you want to install.
That is
I'm pretty sure Warzone would still push you up to 100 gig, though. Might be wrong.
Oh, there's the queue. Okay. What's in my queue right now? The Microsoft Store. Overwatch Origin Edition.
Okie dokie.
You're going to have so many games to update right now.
I feel like I should just go through and, like, uninstall a bunch.
Go for it.
But I want to see, like, what... Like, I don't even know... I need to see, like, what I have installed. So if I go... I could sort by storage devices, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's in my... What is in the contents of my external? Assassin's Creed Unity?
Oh, no.
Battlefield 1?
Oh, my stars.
Wow, how long has it been since you've played Xbox, Chris?
What is... I don't even know what half these games are. WWE 2K16?
2K16.
What? What? Where's my... Wait, is my Rock Band stuff on my... Yeah, it's got to be on the internal one then. View contents of the internal. What's on my internal one? iDarb.
Nice. Gotta love iDarb. Like,
super hot? What, like...
Super hot. Super hot.
It's funny, I super barely have anything. It's like it's Borderlands 2, For Honor, Killer Instinct, Rock Band, Skate. Those are the big ones.
Nice. Speaking of big ones, next up in the Series X gameplay showcase, you guys weren't feeling this one. I was super excited. Scarlet Nexus.
Oh. I was so looking forward to
Scarlet Nexus, the action, like, new action shit? RPG.
Yeah. Like, okay. Up until they showed the characters.
Shit.
I'm telling you. I was like, these enemies are so weird and funky and cool looking, and I'm down for this, and everything looks great. And then the heroes come out with their pointy chins, and I'm like, fuck this shit.
Dark Mika, I want.
I bet you do.
I want that one, too. I think it looks awesome.
Update for Overwatch.
Yeah, makes sense.
What the fuck? That's like the game, isn't it?
I don't know how big the game. Think of how much shit they've added to that game. Yeah, and right. Think of the last time you turned your system on.
Last year?
There you go.
Maybe. Might be longer than that.
I know you're both excited about the next one they showed off, Second Extinction. This one looks radical.
Oh, that was...
Left for Turok.
Left for Turok, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad we included that on the show.
That looks good. I have to have Diablo installed on here, right? Yeah, of course.
Shocker. Yep. Cole, what were your thoughts on Second Extinction?
It's Left for Dead with dinosaurs. I mean...
Sounds good to me.
I was fine with it. I'll play it. I'm down for it.
There were body parts a flying in that footage.
Yeah, there were.
Like, they were getting blown the fuck apart. That was pretty impressive. Giblets and gore.
I am not mad at giblets and gore.
The gibbles are always good.
Yes. Teeth hair. I used to have a teacher in high school who would talk about war, and he'd say teeth, hair, and eyeball everywhere. And that's kind of how I feel like watching those trailers. And I'm like, yes, give me the teeth, hair, and eyeballs everywhere. And now I understand why he would stand on the desk and holler that about war. Because I'm like, yes, give me in-games. In-game war. Not real war. That's bad. But in-game war, teeth, hair, and eyeballs everywhere.
Oh, man. After that, I was really excited about this next one as well. Yakuza Like a Dragon is launching day one on the Series X. The new Yakuza game is a launch title for the Series X. How fucking cool is that?
That is really impressive. I made the joke earlier before we started the show that... Mr. Spence very clearly took a large suitcase full of cash to Japan to make that shit happen. But I know that there are a lot of fans of Yakuza, and I'm glad they're going to get to play it and not have to wait for it.
I mean, we started with the game not being on Xbox at all to within 1 year, we're getting the new game day one as a launch title on the Series X.
Yeah.
With a simultaneous release on Xbox One and Windows 10 as well.
It's very impressive. I'm glad to see it.
That is awesome. Very awesome. Chris, any thoughts on Yakuza?
I've never played them, so I have to... But you said that they're in Game Pass now. So yes. I have to check them out.
Zero and Kiwami are both on Game Pass right now.
I will give them a shot. Yay, you said it was kind of like a GTA Sleeping Dog-ish kind of thing?
Yeah, I think you would like it.
Yeah, I'll probably dig it.
I think you would definitely dig it. Final game they showed off on the showcase was some footage of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It would have been nice to see some actual gameplay.
Yeah, I was a little misled as far as gameplay on Valhalla goes. I thought we're going to get a more actual somebody with a controller controlling shit. Instead, we got just like an engine footage.
Yeah,
so.
Especially with how they hyped that one up. I was expecting actual sit down and gameplay.
Yeah. But I would say though, I am very, very excited to see how they work out him having a raven as his bird instead of an eagle, because the eagle is like an ancestral thing in Assassin's Creed. But
aren't ravens kind of like that for like Vikings?
I mean, yes, but it's been very much so that it's the eagle is the bloodline. Is part of the bloodline.
Yeah.
Like tied into the bloodline. So like if he's got a raven, he's got a different kind of bird. How is he going to fit into the storyline?
When an eagle and a raven love each other very much.
Then you get a sterile bird because it can't breathe.
You get a mutant bird.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you breed a zebra and a donkey and you get a zonkey.
It's exactly like that.
We used to actually have somebody who had a zonkey on the donkey farm down here in town. And it was very popular. And
why wouldn't it be?
You could go feed the zonkey.
Dark Mika says the raven is Odin's bird. That's why they can see it.
Odin is with us.
There you be.
Yeah, but I mean,
word from like, Dark Mika. So if you have any complaints with that knowledge, take it up with Dark Mika.
No, I'm not complaining about it, but like the difference is like the eagle has bloodline significance in Assassin's Creed. So every one of the assassins that we have played has had a tie to an eagle, and a raven would be very different species. So. Or is it going to be a different bloodline that we are experiencing?
I don't know.
Probably.
We will find out. We will also find out whether or not they restocked their goddamn collector's editions, because they sold out in 2 days and I never had a chance to order one.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It literally sucks, because Chris can attest to this. I own every collector's edition for Assassin's Creed.
You do?
I even imported the Syndicate Big Ben edition that has the full clock behind him instead of just the dude with the cane, because I have problems.
You do.
But yeah, you know, I have an entire shelf of Assassin's Creed statues, and I'm missing out on the new Assassin's Creed Collector's Edition. And I really hope they restock it so I could get in on that, because I don't want my streak to end.
Yeah.
Especially not now that they finally made the female the statue. That's badass.
Yes, it is.
Joe, I sent you a picture on Facebook just now, and I want you to see what I did unintentionally.
Oh, Lord. Nice. Oh, my God. Two ways.
How perfect is that?
Would you like to explain what exactly you did?
There is... I have a 1 terabyte external hard drive, and there's 311 gigabytes free on it, which comes out to 66.6%.
So 311, our MagFest room number, and 666.
Because metal.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Unintentional. I just started like uninstalling shit, because I'm like, you know what? Maybe if I just get rid of some stuff on this drive, it'll run smoother. And then I hit those numbers, and I'm like, well, I'm done.
I'm stopping here.
Yep.
So what'd you guys think of the showcase? Overall, I thought it was a pretty solid show. There was nothing that really wowed me, but it was enough to keep me interested to see what they show next. Because, you know, they came out and said they're going to have a series of these events through the summer, each month having, you know, I think next month is supposed to be hardware. The month after that is supposed to be all game-focused. So we're going to see more. Today was mediocre. I'd give it like a 5 or a 6 out of 10.
I think it was just meant to be an appetizer, and I kind of looked at it like that, and I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I just wasn't like, I wasn't terribly excited with a lot of the stuff that was shown. Not to say that it was like bad. It was just not anything that made me go like, holy shit.
That's yeah. All. Oh, well. Moving on, there is some other news that we have to talk about this week. THQ Nordic and Koch Media are trading some publishing rights between brands. THQ Nordic is getting Risen, Sacred, Rush for Berlin, Second Sight, and Singles Flirt Up Your Life, while Koch Media is getting Painkiller and Red Faction.
Pain. Interesting. Pain.
Yeah. And remember, they are both under the Embracer Group, so nothing really changes.
Right. Wonder what the reasoning behind that was.
I know THQ Nordic wanted to get Risen and Sacred to have all of Piranha Bytes franchises under one umbrella, which that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't understand them giving up Red Faction, though.
Hmm.
Especially since they just released the remastered edition.
They did, didn't they? I forgot about that.
But if this means we're going to get some new Red Faction from Koch Media, bring it the fuck on.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's possible.
We'll see. And if it means more Risen and Sacred, yay, please, for the love of God, please. And while we're at it, get the backward compatibility program up and running again and get those fuckers on there. Please.
Hmm.
Please. Twitch Prime games for May. Some solid games were given away for free. Snake Pass, Fractured Minds, Pancapu, The Little Acre, Urban Trial Playground, and Avicii Invector.
It was a good haul.
Yeah.
I went and got every one of them. Even though I have some of them on the Xbox already, I was like, fuck it.
I claim all of them no matter what. Every month. I claim everything.
I go to Epic and I claim my freebies there, and I go to Twitch Prime and get my freebies there, and fuck it. You never know when you're going to be like, let's play this.
My Epic library is stacked.
Yeah.
Never spending a penny on that store.
See that, like, when people like to complain about, like, fracturing all of your, like, libraries into different, like, things. Honestly, I kind of almost find it, like, it's fun to go back and look at all of these libraries from all these launchers and go, like, oh, yeah, I forgot I got that, and I have this. Like, I'm actually going through, Joe, I'm finding all of the DLC in Rock Band that was free that I missed.
Nice. You've missed some good stuff, too.
There's a lot of shit in here.
Yeah, so we'll have more to play together.
That's why I figured I'm doing it. What is it? Super Beat Sports Big Bows Battle?
That's a cool song. You'll like that one.
Okay.
It's from a Harmonix game. It was a free song.
Oh, yeah, I just said I'm going through and I'm getting the free stuff.
Yeah, free is free. New games joining PlayStation Now in May. They're getting Get Even, The Evil Within 2, and then they are also getting Rainbow Six Siege through November 2nd.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cool that they're getting Siege. It's still PlayStation Now, though, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for PlayStation Now. Like, they dropped their price to $10 a month. People still don't give a shit about it. Like, they made it so you could download most of the PS4 games. People still don't give a shit about it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't beat Game Pass with the games launching on Game Pass. I think that's the biggest thing that separates PS Now and Game Pass.
So good.
Day one launches, like Streets of Rage 4.
The whole reason why I updated mine.
Yeah.
Whoa, this DLC pack is $42?
That's probably something with like 25 songs or something.
I'm opening it up right now. $42? Rock Band, wait, what? Oh, in this bundle. Oh, there's some good shit in here, actually. Yeah, but there's some stuff that I already have.
Well, then don't buy the bundle.
Oh, that's dumb.
Blame Xbox for not having bundle pricing.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Xbox, that would be nice if they introduced bundle pricing.
That would be wonderful.
That'd be really nice. Let's see, what other news is there? 2K Games released a teaser trailer for PGA Tour 2K21 and was listed as coming to Xbox One, Switch, and PS4. Looks to be a rebranding of the golf club. So instead of having the golf club every year, we're getting PGA Tour 2K21. I hope they fucking change the putting, because that's the big thing that keeps me from the golf club. I don't like the putting.
I hope they go back to really crazy EA character customization.
Well, it's not EA, it's 2K. That's well, the like, big difference.
Like the more outlandish character customization.
Yeah. From the footage
I want to give my guy pink skin.
Like, Jesus.
Let me do some weird shit.
From the gameplay footage they showed, it looks like it's going to feature the Masters, so that'll be cool for golf fans. It's been way too long since we've had the playable Masters.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
I can hear the excitement coming from the both of you.
Yeah, I just can't do golf. I'm sorry.
I'm like trying. Golf games. I like my
golf.
Them.
I enjoy my golf games. They're relaxing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Stuff to like zen out to, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Some sad news. Evo 2020 has officially been canceled. Shocker.
Yeah.
But it's official. Latest rumors have Mass Effect supposedly getting a full trilogy re-release. Not sure if it's going to be a remake or a remaster, but hooray for rumors. So we'll see what's going on there. I like the Mass Effect series. I would replay them.
I haven't played any of them ever. Like, I could tell you everything that happens in it just because of pop culture, but I have never played it.
You should play them. I think you would dig them.
Probably. I don't have like 400 hours to lose, though.
Nah,
I can't really find myself like having like a strong desire to wanting to play them either.
I don't know. I like them.
It's one of those that you know you're going to be like sucked into a lot for a long time.
Yeah.
For like weeks.
And I get intimidated. At this point, anything that takes me more to sit down to more than an hour or two, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This ain't Radleika. Fuck it.
I don't have time for this shit. Give me achievements and let me get out of here.
Oh, man. Last bit of news I have is that Mortal Kombat 11 is getting some new story DLC with Aftermath, a travel back in time with Shang Tsung. It includes new characters as well, with Fujin and Shiva returning, and then motherfucking RoboCop.
I'm pretty excited for, like, the storyline expansion, because I actually, like, I thought the campaign of the newest Mortal Kombat was actually pretty good.
No, it was really like, good.
It was entertaining. I liked it. So they've never really done like campaign like DLCs. It's always just been like here's some characters, here's some like costumes. All right, have fun. So I'm actually excited that they're kind of like almost exploring this more as a platform to tell more stories and incorporate more characters into it that way, instead of just like, all right, here we're just going to trickle out like a character or two every handful of months and that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how much it's going to be. That's probably going to be the part that makes me go, eh, but
yeah, I didn't see a cost for it. Cole, do you know if there's a price for it?
I have no idea.
I wonder if there's anything.
I can Google it real quick.
Cause I know that they're
not going to put that shit in for free. No way.
Oh, no. There are some things being added for free. A free update May 26th is going to have stage fatalities, friendships.
Sweet.
And I believe three new stages.
Okay.
And that's maybe all finally free.
Put like the pit from like the crypt or whatever.
Aftermath is going to be $34.99. You can get the Mortal Kombat. This is euros or pounds.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Pounds.
I have to. Yeah. So, £50 to buy the whole Aftermath collection. £35 for upgrading to Aftermath if you already have Mortal Kombat, and then you can get an Aftermath plus Combat bundle for £40. So I have no idea what that converts to. This was on Eurogamer, so I've got to find
American version. Like 25 or so for us?
I'm sure it's going to be 30, 40 bucks.
30? Maybe 30.
Let's see if I can... What's this one?
It's going to be pricey. That's,
yeah. Okay. This is American money. So, if you own it already, $39.99 upgrade pass gets you all the new content. If you have it but not the first combat pack, there's a bundle that's $49.99. And if you're completely new to MK11 and want everything, there's an Aftermath collection which has it all for $59.99.
Damn. So it's basically a full price game, price budget game.
It's a full price game, but if you already bought the full price game, they'll let you buy the full price game for $20 off.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Let's hope the DLC is at least meaty. I know the main story, you could get through it in like 2-3 hours.
Ugh, don't tell me that. You're breaking my heart, Joe.
What?
Well, because like if you're gonna like gouge people for like $40 goddamn and then you're gonna blow through the whole storyline in like 3 hours.
I don't know. We'll see how big the storyline's gonna be for this new for Aftermath. I don't know. I'm just saying how long the original Mortal Kombat 11 campaign was.
Like, you got through it that quick?
It wasn't a long campaign.
Most of your time with Mortal Kombat is spent in the towers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't skip any cutscenes, and I feel like it took me, like, 10 hours?
Oh, no way was it that long, because we played through it in an afternoon during our Flag Day party last year that you didn't come to, you dick.
The whole game?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
Start to finish, we did the entire campaign in, like, 3 hours. Alsem Prime said it took him an hour and a half.
What the what? No.
Yeah, it's not a big campaign. Especially if you skip cutscenes.
I didn't skip any of the cutscenes. That's what I'm talking about.
I know. Neither did we.
I don't know. Something seems off there.
And some of the cutscenes were, like, long enough that they would trigger the screensaver.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat wasn't like, fucking around with their cutscenes.
It was basically like I was playing a movie.
Yeah, it was like a 10-minute movie and then a 30-second fight. And then a 6-minute movie, and then a 30-second fight.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe my concept of time is completely... You know what? My concept of time is definitely fucked. So, like, let's just go with that.
Speaking of time, it's been like an hour. I don't know. Did you have any other news that you wanted to talk about?
No.
No, not really, actually. No. I'm just going through and looking at Rock Band DLC, so...
We're going to have to play that.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured. I'll just get stuff like... installed and going and
download it and prep it and
see how I'm gonna set this up again, because
I'm excited. I miss playing Rock Band with you.
That's because I'm bad at it.
Oh man.
Well, and it's tough to play. You said it yourself, every time that we would sit and we would attempt to play Rock Band together, like we don't talk while we're playing the songs. So we're just fucking sitting in silence, and then you just hear That's not the
Nothing's wrong with that. We talk in between songs. You talk in between songs.
Not the most social experience.
Oh, man. But yeah, I guess, Chris, we will let you get going. We have some reviews that we got to take care of.
Something.
It's always good having you on, man. Come back soon.
I like I said, obviously, you know, given what the hell is going on right now, the least I could do is make some time to hop on every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know what? I'll give you a tiny little report on on Pen Island.
Oh, how's Pen Island going?
Pen Island is doing well. My final home loan is paid.
Oh, you've been paying off home loans. I've been buying bridges and ramps.
That's what I'm starting now. So I just finished my second bridge, and now, like, today I should be starting. I think I'm going to do my first, like, ramp. How does the terraforming work?
I don't know. I haven't done any terraforming yet.
Like, is it, like, a tool that you use? Or, like, you I got to find that out. But for now, I guess I'm just going to build ramps and bridges everywhere. So
yeah, that's what we did.
Oh, I started putting like custom paths down for my own like walkways and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So but like kind of basic for right now. But like I'm just kind of doing like one section of like the main island portion like a night. I'm only doing it for maybe about like 15-20 minutes, and then I'm just like, all right.
Cole, have you been sucked into Animal Crossing yet?
Nope. The kids have, but I have not.
You're resisting the temptation?
Yeah, I figure I got enough to keep me occupied on the computer and the Xbox that playing the Switch just doesn't roll.
It's honestly, like, again, I have to thank you, Joe, for, like, you know, replacing my Switch after like 2 years. Because I guess I obviously wasn't going to do it. It wasn't high on my priority list. But Animal Crossing has been just like such a peaceful thing. Like, it's really nice to be able to like have a thing to just like zen out and not like, it's like impossible to be stressed while you're playing Animal Crossing, I guess.
And it depends on how much of your fucking tools break.
I don't know if I told you, but I'm working on my gold axe.
How do you get gold stuff?
It's different for each like tool, but the axe, what you do is you just make a bunch of flimsy axes, and when you break 100 of them, then you'll get the DIY recipe for it somehow, I think.
Number 3 should be well on her way to getting a gold one then, because she's always yelling at me, I broke my axe!
I'm specifically making the shittiest one so I could break them sooner, so that I can get that done with, like, quicker. But, here's the thing, even though you unlock the thing to make them, golden tools will still break in this new one.
Really? That is bullshit.
It just takes, like, a really long time for them to break.
Boo!
Yeah, I kind of hope that they change that in a patch, because I think that's kind of nonsense.
Yeah, if you make something gold, that should be it.
Well, I guess their argument is that, like, it's very, like, gaining gold is very accessible when you're just, like, hitting rocks and stuff, so you should be able to craft them pretty regularly anyway. If you're just, like, constantly holding on to your gold and only using it for golden tools.
Boo.
I know. I'm just glad that I finally got... I had my first day that it rained on my island yesterday.
Wow, took that long for rain?
Took that long for one day.
Damn.
Because I've been working on trying to, like, grow some flowers and stuff, and it's like, when am I going to get a day where it's just... gonna rain for me so I don't have to do it.
Oh, Chris.
Never.
Yep. So
hey, don't
your native fruit is not pears, correct?
I don't remember my native fruit is. Why?
Because I have like a ton of pears, because that's what mine is. I have a ton of pears that I need to sell.
Oh, then come sell them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Gabe hit the power button on my computer. And the only thing that saved it was I had a file that hadn't been shut down. And otherwise, like that, I was able to hit cancel on the shutdown. Oh my God. I had a heart attack. I'm not okay.
You're puckered for a little right there.
That. I threw up in my mouth some. It's a little rough over here right now.
Well, before anything else goes awry, Chris, we're going to let you get going and we're going to dive into reviews.
All right. Sounds good, man.
So you
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Let me know when you want to hop in and try and attempt to do some more Streets of Rage. I'm going to probably play some solo, but I have a feeling I'm going to get my ass kicked. So
yeah, probably.
So just let me know.
Cool. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I don't know. Stay home, stay safe, and I can't wait to finally see my KK Slider concert. I'm close.
All right, moving on. We got some game reviews to take care of. Are you ready for these?
I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
I mean, just because Chris left doesn't mean that we have to slack off.
It means we could slack off.
I mean, very true. So music this episode.
Nailed it. Done. Out of here. Speed run. Bye.
Next. We just spent an hour with Chris. There's no speed run there.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, yeah, anything else you want to talk about, or are you ready to dive into reviews?
I'm ready to dive in. Let's get this done.
All right. Well, then, first game to talk about tonight is called SnowRunner, developed by Saber Interactive, published by Focus Home Interactive, released April 28th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $49.99. SnowRunner puts you in the driver's seat of powerful vehicles as you conquer extreme open environments with the most advanced terrain simulation ever. Drive 40 vehicles from brands such as Ford, Chevrolet, and Freightliner as you leave your mark on an untamed open world. Get ready for the next generation off-road experience. Cole, tell us about SnowRunner.
So I want to point out before I start this review that MudRunner is one of my husband's most favorite games in the world, which says a lot because he doesn't spend a lot of time playing games unless it's American Truck Driving Simulator. I don't know. My husband has weird tastes. Farming Simulator is another one. Mud Runner is like his creme de la creme for games. And so he was breaking neck. When are you going to get SnowRunner? When are you going to get SnowRunner? Is it out yet? Do you have it yet? When do we get SnowRunner? Then he's like, well, I guess we'll just buy SnowRunner. And I'm like, I'm already installing it. I got a review. And I was like, but the rules of that is you have to fucking help me review SnowRunner. And he's like, okay, cool. I'm down. And so he spends all this time playing SnowRunner. And I'm like, cool, so what's your review? What do you think about it? And then he's like, tell the people they should have bought it yesterday and that it's great and I'm going to bed. Bye. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't help me. I have to like have a little more substance for the review. And he's like, no, it's really good. I had a great time and see you later. Son of a bitch.
Like, so, can you tell me something about the graphics? Does like, it have graphics?
Does it move? Is it do the controls even work in this game? So I want to say I did put in a little bit of time with it, but I can't give you like super intensive details because this is just out of my realm of knowledge.
Yeah, same with me.
I'm very, very lost. These Mud Runner and Snow Runner both are very heavy on the simulator side and very heavy on the physics and mechanical aspect of the gameplay that it's just beyond what I'm capable of understanding. Even just the most basic shit in the game, I have to like look at David and be like, where the fuck's the acceleration? You know, I don't even know how to go. And have to like have him I feel like the biggest idiot when I try to play these games. which I think is important if you're not already entrenched in that kind of gameplay, if you're not already familiar with these kind of simulators, you're going to feel lost. Even with as many of them as I have tried to trudge through just so that David could have the games because he loves them. they're still like, I still load up these Mud Runner and Snow Runner and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm lost. So that's definitely something to take into consideration. Like this isn't something that you're going to want to play to get your feet wet. If you're not already like in the deep end, you're fucked.
Yeah, casuals need not apply. Actually, this is a good time to talk about Mud Runner because it's on Game Pass and you could always get a feel for the series in general if you want to try Mud Runner on Game Pass and see if it's up your alley. And if it is, you could move on to Snow Runner and check out a whole new terrain.
There's a lot of similarities between Mud Runner and Snow Runner, as there should be. But there's definitely a difficulty spike with Snow Runner as well. I think you would have a better chance of jumping into Mud Runner and being able to figure it out as a noob. Whereas Snow Runner just assumes you already know how to handle a giant motherfucking truck on ice and snow. And like, you know what to do if you start skating downhill. It was funny though. I was trying to play it the best that I could. And I started to like slide down the hill and my husband's like, put it in reverse. And I was like, that doesn't work. He's going to go in reverse. And you're like, no, put it in reverse. And it will slow you from sliding down the hill like mad. And I was like, oh, I felt like an idiot, but it worked.
Pro tips.
Yeah. Like he's just like, you know, knows exactly what to do, but it's definitely more difficult to play SnowRunner even above MudRunner. That said, they have added some really neat challenges to the game that weren't in Mud Runner. Mud Runner was far more like go deliver wood and hope for the best, and not a lot of variety of gameplay. Whereas Snow Runner has like different rescue missions you can embark on, and there's a greater variety of elements to play there. It does look absolutely incredible. There was one thing that I was curious about because we played on a 1S. We don't have
it. I can vouch it looks incredible on the X.
I would assume it does. I was curious about one thing is that, on the X, are the rear view mirrors clearer and more dynamic? Or do they still, like on the S, you can kind of tell that there's a reflection in the mirror, but I imagine on the X it looks better. I'm judging from your face, you didn't even notice.
I wasn't paying attention at all. I play everything in like the third person view. I don't do the first person.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. David says you have to play it in the first person to have the full experience, and it's more immersive that way. And I'm just like, uh-huh. I'm like, but look at the rearview mirrors. But I was impressed there was a reflection at all. You know? But I was then super curious. I was like, well, if it looks that good on the S, I'm curious what it looks like on an X. But I was impressed. I think that it's really pretty. It's well done. The physics and stuff were already pretty solid from Mudder Runner in the first place, so there was nowhere for them to go but up. And it didn't disappoint. He had a really good time with it. In fact, he was like, tell me when you're done recording because I'm going to come play SnowRunner. I was like, oh, okay. So I might not ever have my Xbox again, and I hope you'll enjoy these reviews because they're the last ones I'm ever going to do.
Well, it was good having you on the show.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a good run. Good run.
I guess, who am I going to get to replace you?
Maybe David could do a weekly SnowRunner.
Well, until he takes over the show, this one's $50. What do you think, and what does he think?
Nah, he definitely says it's a buy it, and I think it's solid and that it justifies it. I like that the changes that they've made, even just from like watching some of the stuff that he's got to that I haven't yet. I think that it definitely justifies the price. I'm good with giving it a buy it.
Cool. All right, next game to talk about is called Daymare 1998, developed by Invader Studios, published by Destructive Creations and All In Games, released April 28th on Xbox One and PS4 for $34.99. Daymare 1998 is a third-person survival horror game that recreates the mood of iconic titles from the 90s with a fresh storyline. An incident that turns a small town into a deadly zone, three characters to play with, and little time to find the truth before its mutated citizens abruptly end your mission. Cole, tell us about Daymare 1998.
So, Daymare 1988 makes a conscious 98. Effort. 1988.
Yep.
1988.
98.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wrote it down wrong. How very me. Yeah, sure is.
Because it's based on games from the 90s.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know why I was so convinced it was 88, but I really did have it in my head that it was 88.
In your face.
I'm clearly fucked up from my medicine, and that's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
I'll let it slide.
The game very much draws heavily on classic 90s survival horror. It just screams Resident Evil. Like, I don't think you're supposed to say it's Resident Evil. Also, Aki can go fuck herself for saying if she reviewed it, she would have messed it up. But she also wouldn't have known how much it costed, so it's fine. but it's definitely draws on that Resident Evil feel. Everything about the game is like, this is Resident Evil, but if Resident Evil looked better. Which is both a blessing and a curse. I think the timing of Daymare is a little off. And I think the game would have been better suited if we were in a world where we didn't have the Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 remake yet.
Yeah.
But because those remakes exist, it makes it a little more harder to tolerate the negative aspects of Daymare. You play as three different characters. At one point, you're playing as the shitheaded bad guys, and then you just want to throttle the characters, and you're like, this guy is so goddamn miserable, I don't care if I get him out of here. Like, his lines are written, I don't want to get into the other characters either, I'm trying like not to, but his lines are written so, like, cheesy and bulky, and they're just delivered in such a way that you're like, I don't know if I can listen to this guy's voice for another hour while I have to do this puzzle. I mean, they're all of the voice acting is a little stilted. Like, it just doesn't feel like it's natural conversation. Like, it's like they brought in each individual character to record their line and then piece them together. There's no cadence between their voices to indicate they were talking to each other when they were recording. I don't know why, but that just, it feels off the whole game, the way that they're communicating with each other, the different characters. There's even one instance in a cutscene where, like, a character's like, she's like screaming out all these details, but the character model is just kind of like holding a button and just barely moving her head. And the voice actress is like going in and out of panicked and just trying to, she sounds like she's trying to just piece together the words and make them sound correct without trying to add any inflection to them. And you're like, it lost me. It lost me. Like, that could have been a really cool scene, but you lost me. Gameplay wise, it's very much classic Resident Evil in a different setting, which is fine. We've seen plenty of these. And again, though, it's just a little harder to like allow it to get away with shit, because we do have the remakes and we know that that this kind of classic survival horror can be modernized. Whereas Daymare just kind of like clings to all the good and bad of the classics. The movement system is incredibly clunky. You have to, in order to interact with things, if there's something you can pick up or interact with, there'll be like a circle with an arrow. And in order to interact with it, it needs to change from that circle with an arrow to the actual A button. Which is fine, except for a lot of times you have to be like standing just so and looking with the camera just right to get that button to pop up. And you could, if you're a smidge off or if you bump the controller in any way before you hit A, you're starting over again. And it's so frustrating, especially when you're feeling more rushed because there are zombies around. It's a survival horror game with zombies. The character models for the zombies, there's only a couple of them to start off with. There's not a whole lot of variety. When they catch you, or grab you, excuse me, they spew this green bile on you, but it's one of the weakest visual aspects of the entire game. Like, you could go the whole game and never see that and think, wow, that was, you know, not a perfect CGI experience, but it was pretty good. It had its moments. But the moment one of those zombies grabs you and, like, pukes on you, you're like, are we sure this one didn't actually come out in 1990s? Because they didn't do anything to modernize that bile look. Which is sad, because, like I said, there's so many good elements in its visual appearance, but you just get lost in the parts that are bad. About an 8 to 10 hour story, gameplay wise, not overly complicated. There are some puzzles that are not intuitive at all, and I don't know how you would get through some of them if it weren't for a guide or Google. There's one, for example, where you straight up have to solve a puzzle that's in Greek. And I was just like, I can't do this. I need help.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, this is not good. I have to put in the solution in Greek. I don't know Greek. I need help here. And I had to get a guide. And I try really hard when I'm doing review games to not use guides, because it's like, if it's not, you know, it's not intuitive, I need to know that. This was above and beyond not intuitive and just weird and just didn't sit well. So there are times where you're just like, I don't know what they were going for, but they kind of jumped the shark a little bit, if you will. Which is a shame, because I think they had some really solid ideas, but the execution and the actual gameplay and the way that the story is presented, the choppy voice acting and stuff, just doesn't quite hit the nail on the head when there are better options out there now.
No.
So, I mean, like, if this had come out a couple of years ago where it was the only modernized survival horror zombie experience Resident Evil knockoff, I'd been like, yeah, that's not bad. It fits the bill. But at this point, we know that there's better options out there, and it makes it a little harder to recommend.
Yeah, especially when it's sitting at a more premium price tag. Like, if this were like the Outbreak games, or it was hovering around $10-15,
yeah,
that might be one thing. But coming in at $35, I got to know, what's your verdict?
I think even if it were $20, it'd be a little easier to recommend. But at $30, it's just not, and I'm going to have to give it a deny.
It's not even 30, it's 35.
35. See? Yeah, I'm sorry. And I feel bad because, like I said, there's clearly good involved, and you can see what they were going for. It's just that it all very much gets lost in the big picture.
That's a bummer. I was looking forward to this one. I might still pick it up, maybe wait for a sale. See.
Yeah. Make sure you have a guide ready.
Yeah, that bugs me that you need guides on hand to be able to get through puzzles. No, yeah. Like a puzzle in Greek, really?
Yeah, it's all, and it's so weird because it's just out of left field. It's all about mythology and shit, and I don't even think about it again.
Damn. I don't know. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Dreadnautical, developed and published by Zen Studios, released April 29th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Your cruise was so relaxing until the monsters from another dimension showed up to kill everyone. Fight them off, manage your resources effectively, and convince scattered survivors to join your efforts. A captivatingly eerie, tactical, turn-based RPG. First off, if you want to know more about this game, feel free to check out 2 episodes ago. We had, Mr. Chris Baker of Zen Studios on chatting with us about the game, mm-hmm. which was a fun time.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And then, if you are not familiar with the game, Cole, tell us about it.
So Dreadnautical is, a tactical, like, you know, XCOM, Mutant Year Zero. I've done a lot of these games here lately. tactical, I don't want to, I started to say shooter. That's not right. Holy hell. I am struggling tonight. Is a tactical action. I don't know what genre to give it. I don't know. There are,
action tactics.
Is it action tactics? Is that?
I guess.
That didn't seem right, but I guess it is. Like, I don't know. This is so, it's getting harder and harder every time to, like, find a genre, because they're all just mishmashing them together.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Come on, Zen. Pick one and stick to it. Jesus Christ. Pick one and stick
with it. This is not pinball. What are you doing?
friggin' Chris. Come on, Chris.
You're set aboard a cruise ship. The shit has kind of hit the fan. You don't always remember what's going on, but you got to try to survive each day. You get to go out a little more each time. You have your action points. You'll come across zombies. Sometimes you'll craft better weapons, so that you can take them out. Sometimes they'll fuck you over anyway. You're trying to find more survivors that you can add to your little survivor enclave, so that you might actually, you know, survive the shitstorm that has come across this cruise ship. There are different types of characters that you can play as. I'm not even going to lie to you. I only ever picked the girl because she could throw her controller and she had the stun, and I just thought it was the most incredible thing ever, and none of the other characters mattered at all at that point. it comes in really handy when you can use your use your special ability and, like, stun the zombies so that you can get through them, because you are limited by your action points. I mean, it's a tactical. So you are limited by your action points and how much you can use to get from, you know, get through your combat sequences. It's one of those games that it's easy to pick up and play, but if you're actually going to master it and do well, you're going to have to sit down and put the time into it and recognize that you're probably going to fail a lot.
Yeah, this is a game that pretty much requires failure to progress.
Yep. You have to fuck up or you're not going to go anywhere. if you're doing well, you're doing it wrong. And that's just kind of the way that these kind of games roll.
Yeah.
That said, I had a really good time with it. I thought the characters are, and the art style, it's not necessarily low poly. It's very heavily stylized though. I do have one quirk with the game, and that's in the cutscenes. When the mouse don't line up with the dialogue, it really fucks with me. And if I had to bitch about anything in Dreadnoughtical, it would be that. But otherwise, I think it's a really, really solid tactical game. I think it's a little more forgiving than a lot of tactics games that I've played. You can kind of take a little bit of an ass whooping and still hold in there, even though it's difficult and you're going to fail a lot. It's reasonable to
it's manageable failure. It's
fair. Yeah. Like it feels fair. You don't ever just die and be like, well, I don't know what the fuck happened. You're like, no, I fucked that up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little more reasonable. I think it's all supposed to be very comedic and just kind of lighthearted horror. But I had a good time with it. It's almost like the game doesn't even take itself too seriously, you know? It's just,
which I like in games.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a giggle out of it, and the game is aware that it very much plays up to your being goofy in it, even though it's supposed to be kind of a horror situation.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of comedic horror in games, so I'm down with it.
Grant had some feedback as well. I asked him. He was unfortunately unable to join us for this episode for the review. He did want to pass along. He says, I love the aesthetic. There's a learning curve around range weapons that can be a little on the confusing side and cause some mistakes. The moving ball that selects tiles can be finicky. He was playing on the Switch, so I'm not sure if it's worse on the Switch. I
didn't have any problems on the Xbox.
Yeah. Simply moving the stick to change tiles would be a bit easier to wrap my head around. Overall, I enjoyed it, and the length of the runs feels great.
Yeah. So I pretty much agree with him, except, like I said, we didn't, on the Xbox, I didn't have any trouble selecting tiles. So that may be a Switch thing.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's good to know that. I think it's a really solid little game, and I enjoyed it.
$20, your verdict?
I gave it a buy it.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Biped, developed by Next Studios, published by Next Studios and Post Meta Games. Released March 26th on PC, April 8th on PS4 for $14.99. Two little bipedal robots, Aku and Sila, will walk side by side and embark on a fun and bonding journey. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends and fam. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Biped, developed by Next Studios for the PS4. Biped is a co-op action adventure puzzle game where you take control of the legs of two robots in your quest to relight the beacons of Earth so that all robot kind can safely navigate. Let's get started with the review. The first thing I couldn't help but notice is how gorgeous this game is. The colors are vibrant, the atmosphere is interesting and eye-catching, and the level design is top-notch. Even just looking at the opening cinematic, I was blown away. I wanted to dive right into the water, it looked so inviting. Plus, all the robots are just so cute. You have the robots you control whose names are Aku and Sila, don't ask me which is which. But you also meet other robots in the wilds of Earth. Each robot that you meet is dressed in the same style as the level that you're on, and I appreciated the touch. All in all, it's a very pretty game. Let's talk about gameplay. This is a co-op heavy game, so it's best to play with someone else. It supports local co-op as well. So I was more than happy to tap my bestie to play this one with me. Hey, look, we have someone who can play a game with other people. That's awesome to have. You have someone else that you can share games with. So you're not the only one playing two-player games.
Hooray!
The control scheme is simple. You use the left and right sticks to move the left and right legs of the robots. You can also push down on those sticks simultaneously to make the robots glide, and that's a quick way to get around. I found that I was really good at taking large steps, and the bestie was good at doing little waddle steps. There are collectibles as well. You'll find coins and stars throughout the levels, which you can use to dress up your robots. The game also keeps track of how long it takes you to beat a level or a challenge, but it's best that you don't think about that time, because it will only make you depressed, trust me.
Oh, no.
I was thrilled that there was a tutorial in the game instead of just throwing you out there and telling you how to swim. The tutorial is where you'll learn how to walk, navigate, and interact with the world and the robots. Then you'll be thrown out onto Earth, and I hope you know how to swim. The game is touted as action adventure, but I don't necessarily agree with that. There are so many puzzles and challenges in this game that'll test your ability to move these robots as well as work in tandem with your partner. The game is easy to learn but hard to master, though it's not the game you need to master. It's your communication with your partner. See, one of the main puzzles in this game is walking on platforms that switch colors as you walk. You'll notice that the robots are blue and pink. When the platform is one of these colors, only the associated robot can move. If the platform is blue and the pink robot moves, the platform disappears, the robots plummet to their death, and you start over. We started over many, many times. Even when we were communicating with each other, the robots didn't always do what we wanted them to do, and we would have to start over. It was infuriating, but I wasn't mad at the game, even when I should have been. Biped is available now on the PS4 for $14.99, and should you buy this one? Yes, you absolutely should, though I must stress that you need to play this with someone else. The amount of fun I had with my bestie is immeasurable. There was one part where we're panicking to get across a platform, and we both did the splits at the same time and just stopped moving. Then we looked at each other and laughed so hard that we cried. This is a moment that will stick with me for a very long time, and I'm happy that Biped could give it to us. That's awesome. I love when games give you a moment with a friend that just sticks with you.
That's awesome.
All right. Next game is called Task Force Campus, developed by Cassiopeia Wave and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released May 6th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $5.99. Drawing inspiration from the golden age of Japanese shoot 'em ups, Task Force Campus combines retro action with modern conventions, adding new mechanics and randomly generated stages with handcrafted bosses. Cole, tell us about this one.
I went into the shmup thinking it was going to be a relatively easy completion, and I was only about 80% correct. I say that as somebody who plays a lot of shmups. I know what I'm getting into with a bullet hell. But I had high hopes. I was like, you only got to beat three bosses. I got this. I can knock this out the park. Watch me. I had every achievement before I killed the first boss. So like I said, I was about 80% correct. But also that means I killed over 1,000 enemies before I got to the first boss.
Well, you couldn't have had the score achievements because you need to beat bosses for the score achievements.
No, you don't. Not really? If you fuck up enough. Nope. I still don't have the achievement for killing the second or third boss, but I have all the score achievements. I can't do it. I can't kill three bosses. I don't know. I if I'm lucky, I can kill the first boss. I did it one time. Once. For the most part, I wasn't wrong. It's a relatively easy shmup. You have a couple of different ship options you can choose. They're technically characters. The whole story of it all is, I don't know. It's a shmup. I'm like, I don't care about the story. I just want to shoot shit. I say that every time I review a shmup. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the story. I just want a pew-pew. Let me go. and I wasn't disappointed with the actual pew-pew aspect of the game. You have a couple of different ships you can choose from. One does an extra shot. One has more shot damage. One is more HP, and as you collect more Cocos, which are little T-Rexes that will fall out of the asteroids, you can unlock different ships. So if you fuck up, you gotta start over. It's fine, because you may have a different ship that you might like better. One, for example, has shots that come out of the side of it, so it clears out more of the screen without you doing a whole lot more effort. Which I'm not mad about. I was originally preferred the one that was like a shotgun shot, that was like a super shot. And that's the one that I actually beat the first boss with one time. Once. But then after that, once I unlock the one that shoots outside, even though I've not yet beat a boss with that one, I find that for just clearing the actual waves of enemies, I prefer that one. Makes the game so much easier. except for the bosses, and I'll get to that in a second as to why. There's very minimal gameplay here. This is just a classic old school shmup. You shoot and you survive. That's all there is to it. It's all that's important. Everything else is moot. So you literally just have the shoot button. The thing with it though, there's a one little trick, and that is that your health bar is your attack power. So if you are taking hits, your shots suck and don't do as much damage. But you can heal if you just stop shooting.
Which However, can get hard when there's a lot of shit on screen.
If you stop shooting, the shit hits the fan. This is slightly easier during bosses, or at least the one boss that I can beat. Because then at that point, you don't have to worry about anything other than just trying to navigate the bullet hell. So it gives you a little greater chance to recover. However, there is no wiggle room in these boss fights. And the actual shmup gameplay up until the boss fight does not in any way prepare you for that boss fight. You can very much so hold the shoot button and move left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and clear a whole level. It doesn't give a fuck. This is all it takes. As long as you're collecting them cocos and you're getting more shots and you're doing more damage, you're never going to even see an enemy hit the screen because you will have blown them all away before they get there. But then that giant motherfucking squid comes down.
Oh, squid time.
The squid is bullshit because it takes up like 49,000% of the screen. And then it shoots out these giant ass bullets that take up the other 19,000% of the screen.
Your screens have weird proportions.
Math is not a redneck strong suit. So your tiny little ship is trying to like squeak in between these bullets, and you're inevitably going to get hit. Like the first five times I tried to beat the squid, I don't think I ever even managed to get a shot in on it. I was just trying to find the best ways to not die.
Yeah, it seems like a weird difficulty spike once you hit the boss. It goes from a shmup to bullet hell really, really quick. And I think the controls are just too loose to have that many bullets coming at you. You need a button to hold down to slow your ship down so you could do more fine-tuned movements.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's there. I hit every button I could think of and nothing it's slowed not. The ship down, but it needs that option there so you can make those fine-tuned left and right movements when these bullets are flying at you and you need to get through these tiny crevices.
It would benefit too from an option to do a hitbox overlay.
Yes.
It's a little difficult to know what's going to hit you and what's not. You just have to assume everything's going to hit you and you're just going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Until you do learn, yes, this works. No, it doesn't. Because there's no visual indicator of this is safe, this is not safe. I would like a little more explanation, too. There's a bar on the right side of the screen that's red and gradually fills up, and I have no idea what the fuck it does. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's there. There's no description of it anywhere else in the game. It's just there, and it's red. No other buttons work. You go to the control scheme. Only the button for shoot and move is there. I don't know. I don't know what the deal with that red bar is. The world will never know what the red bar is.
Is it progress to the boss, maybe?
Maybe. But that's weird because it starts at like a quarter full.
Nah, I don't know then.
So I don't know. I don't know. That's probably the closest thing that it could be. But like I said, it starts at a quarter full, so it's really weird.
Maybe that shows your attack power.
That's your health bar, though. Your attack is your health. Yeah. So weird. Anyway, it's an interesting enough concept. It's one of those where like I constantly found myself wanting to just do one more run because I knew I could kill all three bosses and I never could. And I'm just going to have to delete it and cry about it and never have that completion.
Well, then $6 on it. What do you say?
I think $6 is solid. It's not going to appeal to everybody, so that kind of holds me back from a buy it, especially because of the difficulty spike. But I think it justifies a try it.
Fuck it, why not?
Yeah, I could even go fuck it, why not? Yeah.
Cool. Fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
All right, next game is called Zombies Ruin My Day, developed by Mancebo Games, published by Render Code Games, released May 6th on Xbox One for $3.99. This is the story of how the best day of your life can become a nightmare full of zombies. Cole, what does that mean?
So zombies are going to ruin your day, and it doesn't matter what you do, your day is going to be ruined. So you have a first off, let me back up and say one thing. This is one of the homeliest games I have ever seen. It's not ugly enough to be fucking ugly. But it's not solid enough to be like, eh, it's okay. It's just homely. It's such a weird, homely little art style. It looks like it's cut, like a kid doodled it and cut it out of construction paper and made little construction paper zombies. It's odd. It's definitely something that's... It has a niche appeal.
I'm not mad at the visuals, though. I
got
the aesthetic.
Used to them. I did get used to them. It was like I either really liked some of the character models or I was just like, why? Over all the others. The punks, for example, are like a why. Like, what are you doing? there are each level. I want to say there were five chapters per level. Give or take. I don't remember if it was always five. But you play a handful of different levels, part of a bigger section. And it's pretty straightforward. You have a single scene. You have your little dude. Initially, he's only armed with a pistol. His day sucks because there's zombies. And as it counts down the timer, zombies will bust out of one door or another and work their way down to you. You can shoot through the floors. You can shoot through whatever is in your way. But you gotta shoot the zombies. Pretty straightforward. And it starts off pretty simple. And you're like, you know, it can't get too much rougher than this. Except that it does. Because as you progress, then you go from shooting just plain normal zombies to, oh no, now there's zombies with a helmet. And at least they drop SMG ammo, so I'm not mad at them. Give me an SMG. Then you go from them to the construction worker zombies. But it's okay, because they drop barricades. And then you can put up a barricade and kind of limit how the zombies get to you and buy yourself a little extra time. But then they introduce the punk zombies, and then you're like, fuck this game! Punks cheat because they jump. They jump, Joe. They jump over your barricades. They
yeah, the punks are assholes.
Give a fuck. And then it's just like I'm forever stuck. I managed to kill a big giant motherfucking worm zombie thing with a pistol and a bad mood, but the punks just come along and start jumping over my barricades and nothing matters in life anymore.
Yeah, it's
everything is ruined.
It blows my mind how tough this game is, and it just there's points where it seems unfairly difficult because it doesn't give you enough ammo for any of the special weapons, and your pistol doesn't do shit.
Not damn thing.
Like if there was an upgrade system in the game where you could, you know, pick up coins or, you know, earn points through unlocks that you could use to upgrade your pistol to not be a piece of shit the whole time, it would make things a lot more enjoyable and more accessible. Like, I'm playing on normal, and part of me, like, I don't want to reset and play on easy because I would lose my progress, considering I beat the first chapter or the first campaign on normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for the achievement stacking, by the way. I love that.
Do they stack? I wondered, and I was like, oh, I started on easy because I'm a bitch. But I wanted to see how difficult it was going to be. Then I was like, oh, well, they probably don't stack. In indies, they tend not to.
Yeah, they stacked. So.
And I was, son of a bitch. Now I got to go back to it again.
But like, I want to get further in the game, but I don't want to do it on normal because it's too goddamn hard for me.
You're never going to get further in the game because the punks are going to come along and jump over your barricades and none of it's going to fucking matter anymore. Yeah. I'm very jaded by zombies ruined my day. They ruined my day is what I'm trying to say. I guess I give them points for truth in advertising.
Yeah, So, what would you do to improve the quality of life on this one? Besides, I still think a weapon upgrade system would be great, but that might be a bit too tough to implement easily.
I think it's a little too simple of a game for a weapon upgrade system, and that it might kind of complicate it too much. But, more ammo for the shotgun doesn't do shit either. And the shotgun.
Yeah, when I got the shotgun, I was like, I'm going to blow away hordes of zombies with this shotgun. And it still took me like 6 shots to kill one guy.
Yeah, the fucking punks, though. they definitely need to like work on balancing the weapons a little bit. Making a shotgun should blow through at least 2 or 3 of them. I don't know that an upgrade system is necessarily gonna fly unless they could find a way to implement it easily where it could be done quickly, like just have it be a power up that drops or something.
No.
But I do think that more ammo and maybe at least on the easier difficulty, slowing down the rate at which the zombies come out would help a lot. Because you can get barricades and stuff, but you don't have any time to even set them up. The zombies are just like busting down the door every 5 seconds. And you're like, okay, but calm down.
No.
you don't have any time to breathe. And you can jump. If you can get it down to where you've got only one zombie on one side of you, and a whole horde on the other, you can jump over the one
and buy yourself an extra 5 seconds.
Yeah, but you're just going to find yourself trapped in a corner, and then you don't get your barricade out, and it's all over, and you just wasted your time trying to give yourself time.
Yeah.
I think weapon balance is probably the biggest thing I would ask for.
But overall, it's still only $4. What do you think?
Can I do 2 fuck it, why not?
Fuck it, why not?
I feel like, fuck it, why not? Like, the interesting thing about it is that I kept just going into it like, I'll just play a level or two. And then I'd find myself sitting there playing it for 2 hours. And I thought, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just that it needs a little work.
Needs some balancing and quality of life improvements. And it's, for $4, it's solid. So, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got some DLC to talk about. You talked about your love of the Tropico DLC last week on the show and mentioned that we never covered the Llama of Wall Street DLC, so I rectified that for you.
We did. I love Tropico so much.
Tropico 6, the Llama of Wall Street DLC, developed by Limbic Entertainment, published by Calypso Media, released December 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. It's time to play in the major leagues. El Presidente is descending on the world of international brands big time. Power and politics is never enough for a man with ambition as great as El Prez, so join forces with the shady, completely trustworthy broker and help Tropico establish its status as a global mega brand. Cole, tell us about this DLC.
So, the Llama of Wall Street is basically DLC for anybody who likes to fuck with money trends in games. You're not going to be disappointed. It adds a new map that you can play both as a mission and in, sandbox mode, much like you could with the Spitter DLC. So hooray for consistency. If you play the mission, you will find that your trusty aide, Penultimo, has had a dream. And his dream is to, see the island of Tropico become the major manufacturer of wooden toys. And it just so happens that your lovely new island is covered from asshole to earlobe in wood. So you got the resources. Fuck it, why not? So you decide to indulge Penultimo's dream of becoming a toy magnate. It's a little weird, but that's Tropico and that's what they do best. But in order to make this fly, you have to get some new gameplay mechanics, and you have to have some new buildings, and there's some things that you need if you're going to fuck with the trade routes a little bit. Because as is prone to happen in Tropico, everything you're doing is not as high quality as what might be done elsewhere. And that flies for the wooden toys too. And it turns out that other countries are making toys better than yours. So you're not getting the best export prices. So now you have the option of building trade institutes. And the trade institute can fuck with those prices for you. you can unlock a new ability through the broker, who has been handy in the past for letting you buy blueprints and stuff using your Swiss bank account. But now he has the ability to pull the strings for you. And so there are trade events. One event I encountered was that there was a war raging. And so things like rubber and weapons and leather were more expensive. But if that was hurting me because I don't have those materials, I could pull the strings and make the trade event go away a little quicker. So that would open up the opportunity for something where, like, a baby boom and people needed more toys would happen. And so I would be able to sell my toys at a higher price. So it's really neat the way that they have thought of how the world is affects the trade markets and how you can affect the trade markets just by, you know, pulling some strings. In addition to the toy workshops, which are new, you also get smart furniture. So, you have some options for new things that you can create, and keeps you nice and busy and farming away at the trees on your little island for a good long time.
Nice. So overall, $10 on this DLC. What do you think of it?
Tropico never lets me down, man. never lets me down. I definitely give it a buy it.
Awesome. All right, well, we got one final game to talk about, and we got to get Dark Mika in here, so let us add her to the call and hope that she's paying attention, because she didn't mention anything in chat. So we'll find out. Yeah, do we?
I've always paying attention. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you're not close enough to the microphone, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, that's because I had to pull it closer to me. I'm sorry. That's your fault. I blame you.
Yeah, my fault that you don't speak into the microphone.
Yes.
It's because she's so blind she can't tell how close to it she is.
No comments on that. I didn't knock it down earlier when I was trying to pull it closer to me at all because I couldn't tell the difference. Totally didn't do that. No, never.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Infinite Beyond the Mind, developed by Koyo, published by Blowfish Studios, released May 7th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. Infinite Beyond the Mind is a 2D retro action platformer with a colorful chibi pixel art style. Navigate the battlefield by eliminating the Wicked Queen's army across a variety of stunning environments. Cut your enemies down and avoid their bullets with a lightning-fast dodge. Aki, tell us about Infinite Beyond the Mind.
Okay. You can choose to play as one of two different girls who are an item, it appears, which was nice. Tanya or Olga. Olga is just this sweet, wholesome-looking girl. She's in, like, this white midsummer dress. And then Tanya is like the badass with, you know, that looks like she's from a JRPG, basically. And you play through 16 different worlds, each that have various amounts of levels. Usually it's two or three levels per world. And you just hack and slash your way through enemies, or I guess you can bypass lots of them, too. That's suggested for one of the playthroughs. Fucking pain in the ass playthrough is what it is. you can you can beat the game in about 3 hours. Even if you're fucking about killing literally everything there is to kill, you should be able to beat this in 3 hours-ish, thereabouts. I'm working on that playthrough right now where I'm slaughtering every single thing I come across without fail.
Nice.
yeah. I've played it. This is my fourth playthrough, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. The first three, I was like, I didn't, I think, one single day, I think, and I was just running, trying to bypass everything, because there is achievement for beating the game in under an hour, and closest I got to that was an hour and, like, 30-something minutes, so I suck ass! pretty sure you have to play that co-op to do that, and there is a co-op option. I don't know how the story changes with that, because whichever one you pick in single player, the other character has been captured by this evil empire who's trying to use your psychic powers for evil. And when both of you are together, your psychic powers are insane. And now that one of you was kidnapped, your powers have weakened, but you still are like superhuman because you're crazy. Your protagonists, of course, you're superhuman.
Yeah.
But the co-op you play is both characters, so I don't know exactly how that works, because unlike Serena, I don't fucking have friends, so I don't know
Serena
quite how that
has
works.
Friends, we don't.
Yeah, we're all forever alone faces. It's okay. It's okay.
So yeah, Infinite Beyond the Mind, what do you think of it?
Hmm?
I said, yeah, Infinite Beyond the Mind, what do you think of it?
I'm kind of iffy on it. Most of the game is pretty fun, pretty simple, moderately easy to deal with on easy. Anyways, I haven't gone above that. There's three different difficulties, and I haven't tried the upper two, because no. But the entire last level is just fucking terrible in every conceivable way. It decides, hey, want to know what's great about platforming? Platforming sections where you can fall constantly, because there's been a few games that I've seen that have done this, where you have to jump and hit something, and that propels you up further, and you have to keep doing that to get up higher and higher. This game decides to do that. I fucking hate doing that shit, because I can't fucking see. So you have to time those hits on a regular basis, and it's all kinds of like giving me the bird, and just I don't like that. So that entire level just, and it has some cheap, really cheap areas too, like there's an area where you have to boost or dash or dodge, whatever the fuck they want to call it, over this hole that's in the ground that leads to instant death that you can't get out of if you fall in it. But there's no room to jump above it. And sometimes if you dash, you fall just the tiniest little ass hair down, and you can't get out, so you just fall to your death immediately. And I've lost an entire... It gives you 5 lives anytime you have to continue. I've lost 4 of those 5 numerous occasions at that one spot.
Damn.
Yeah, I did... that's a section that that pisses me off so much, because there's no real way to bypass that. That is just a very cheap area to lose a ton of lives for no fucking reason. But there's boss fights at the end of each world, or area, whatever you want to call it. Lots of them are robots, which I assume you are somehow part robot just from the outfit that you get later on in the game and from your superpowers. It all kind of leads me to believe you're somehow part machine or something. But you fight a lot of androids and other weird people who turn into giant people and other weird shit. Yeah, there was literally one boss that after you beat it, it absorbed a bunch of nuns and turned into a giant human being. It, yeah, yeah. It was weird.
They don't want none.
I guess not. That was terrible, by the way. That was bad, and you should feel bad.
I hate my life.
It's okay. But, yeah, lots of the battles, though, are against androids, which makes a lot more fucking sense. And then the very last boss is the evil queen of the empire, who seems to be human and robot and alien bug thing, and it's, I don't get it. The last two levels just get really fucking weird. Other than just the platforming hack and slashness that the game is, there's also little shmups, basically, where you fly around. There, some levels are just that. There's two or three of them that are like that, and sure, aren't too bad. They're not great, in my opinion, because, again, I can't see very well. Those areas are kind of hard because the enemies move around a lot. Yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the game. I just would like the last level to be made a little less cheaply, because they really just want to whittle down your health at that point, and that really kind of sucks. Because in my first playthrough, I died like 57 times.
Damn.
And like 30 of those were on that fucking level, the last world. And that sucks, because it's like most of the game, it's doable. And then that area, it's like, oh, here's a cheap death. And here's another 10 of them just because we can.
Damn.
Yeah. So, well, but other than just the last level, the game's great.
Well, then last level aside, overall $10, need your verdict. What is it?
If you like these kinds of games, totally 100%. If you don't, this is easy enough. It might actually get you into it.
Aside from the last level.
Yeah, the last level's bullshit. Get to the last level and then just quit. You'll be fine.
Sounds good. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Aki, thanks for being here, hanging out.
Totally.
Another thanks to Chris for being here earlier in the show and chatting with us and hanging out. Cole, thanks for being here and hanging out.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Joe.
You're welcome.
I'm just glad.
We're so horribly insincere. What happened?
I said, I'm just glad you didn't blow chunks.
I made a conscious effort.
Was it close?
Yeah, a couple times.
Is it close?
Not as close as it was yesterday.
If we make vomiting noises, will it make you blow chunks?
No, probably not. But, you know, okay. I'm not going to tell y'all what sound I can't stand, because you guys would break your neck to do it. So probably. Guess what?
I totally would. I'm a bitch.
There is one sound that will make me blow chunks every time, but I'm not telling you what it is.
Oh, is it the sound of diarrhea?
No. I've had kids. It takes a lot.
Yeah, I was hoping it was something you were used to from way back when or something. Oh, well.
These are the quality final words you can only find on the SML podcast.
You're all very welcome. I'm just fucked up enough to make them.
Music this episode, we got some music from the Video Game Jazz Orchestra. They just put out a Mario 64 tribute album. So we're going to play some Ba-Bomb Battlefield.
Nice.
Yeah, Ba-Bomb. Kinky bananas. What'd you say?
Said kinky bananas.
Ba-bomb.